you have your Bibles, be turning to 1 Kings chapter 16. I had about six sermons ready for tonight, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm here with the specific purpose of encouraging you. And after we had lunch today, I had it on my heart that I was going to think about it and pray about it and let God give me a little bit of direction. So we're going to be talking about Elijah this evening. But there's something that I want to do. I want to do this for an illustration. And I'm not always... Can you still hear me? I'm not always good at illustrations. But I want y'all to play along with me here. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer that question out loud. Okay? Now, everybody, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, here's the first question. What kind of car, don't answer yet, what kind of car do you drive? I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. And so, one, two, three, I'm going to say, I'm not going to tell you I drive a Dodge. I got to pick my other car. A Mercury, okay? So let's do that. One, two, three, and then you just, one, two, three, Mercury. Now, here's the next question. What is my next question? I wrote these down so I'd have an illustration. Yeah. Give me your address. Not your whole zip code and all that business. If P.O. Box or 362 Southwest Drive or, you know, something like that, okay? Yours. Out loud. One, two, three. 30862 South Oak Drive. Okay, one more, okay? And the one more is... I want you to give me your name. Did I do that already? I'm tired from this morning. I don't usually yell and preach a lot, but the Lord just kind of moved me this morning to a specific task. Okay, your name. One, two, three. Dan Pierce. Okay? Now we're going to do another couple of questions, and I want you to do the same thing. And these questions are, first one is, who died for your sins, okay? Okay, here we go. One, two, three, Jesus. Now, second question is, where do you want to go when you die? And I'll give you a clue, it's not hell, okay? Where do you want to go when you die? One, two, three, heaven. Okay, now I want you to understand something from the illustration we just did. I got that from my cousin. He's a good preacher. Give me a good example. You know, the idea here is when we are acting in relationship to ourselves, I can't tell you anything that you said. I don't know your address. Carol, I don't know your address. I couldn't hear you. You know why? Because I was too busy focused on me and remembering my address. I can't tell you, Jerry, what your address was. Or Travis or anybody else. Because I was busy listening to me. But now, you know what? When we all focused in together and got our minds off ourselves, guess what? I can tell you who died for all of our sins. Because we answered in unison, and it was Jesus the Christ. And I can tell you where everybody in here wants to go unless I miss something. Sounded to me like everybody wants to go to heaven. So I want you to think about this as we consider the story of Elijah. We begin that story in 1 Kings chapter 16, around verse 29. Give you a little bit of back. Oh, okay, now let me just tell you this. I got to smoke through this because y'all don't need to be up all night and there's some business that need to work through tonight. I've got like 10 minutes. So I'm going to have to switch gears here. Israel was divided. The northern kingdom with its capital in Samaria. The southern kingdom, Judah, capital in Israel. The kingdom split after Solomon. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, took the kingdom in the north, and Solomon's son Rehoboam took the kingdom in the south, and they were at odds with each other. Family doesn't ever get at odds with each other, do they? I got to stop that. I won't be able to talk very long. My voice is a little weak. Well, these folks were at odds with each other, but northern Israel was wicked exceedingly. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, set up, built a golden calf and made Israel, northern Israel, worship the calf. Wouldn't allow northern Israel to go to Judah to worship at the temple. He wouldn't allow it. Wickedness reigned in the northern kingdom in Israel, okay? And Elijah, a prophet of God, was sent to them to give them some instruction for a specific purpose. I don't want to give my sermon away. I just about did. I want to jump to the end. Ahab was the king of northern Israel. And Ahab married a wonderful woman named Jezebel. You caught the sarcasm. Okay, there you go. Jezebel was a wicked woman. She was a daughter of the place was Sidon, Sidonian king. He married outside of God's people. He began breaking the commandments of God one after another. And Jezebel was wicked. I've got to abandon my notes. I've got 10 minutes, right? So Jezebel was extremely wicked. She introduced Baal worship and Asherah worship, and here's Ahab. Ahab doesn't have enough sense to be a man and to stick with God's convictions. And Ahab goes in a different direction. He starts worshiping foreign gods. Here's a child of God. And he's worshiping, and he's the leader of the northern Israel people. And Jezebel starts having the prophets of God killed. She thought she had had them all killed except Elijah. But Obadiah, not the Obadiah over in Obadiah, but another Obadiah, he went and hid 100 of the prophets in a couple of caves. So they were hot, you know, on the tail of Elijah. They're trying to find this Elijah to kill him and get rid of him. They're after him hot and heavy. Well, Elijah sends a message to Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say, until God says that it's going to rain. You're under drought conditions. And I don't know if any of you know anything, it's not drought around here. It's been drought down south. No rain for 3 years. So here's Elijah, and he goes out into the desert. God sends him out into the desert because Jezebel wants to kill him. He goes out into the desert, and he's fed by what? You remember? I'm not eating from no raven. I don't know about you. Raven slobbers don't sound good to me. But here's Elijah. He's out there, and God's taking care of him. And the pool of water dried up. God sent him on to the widow's house, and there we see the flour and the oil. She says, I don't have enough to feed you, and he says, don't worry. The flour and the oil will not run out till it rains. You remember the story. Elijah, he's on the run. He's on the run. He's on the run till God says, go to Ahab and tell him, let's have a meeting. So he goes to Ahab and he says, hey, gather all of Israel and gather these prophets of Baal. Gather them up and meet me at Mount Carmel. Now, historically, you know, you've heard sermons like this. They're usually titled The Showdown on Mount Carmel. So here is Elijah, a wanted man. His picture's in the post office, okay? He calls all of Israel to gather around at Mount Carmel. So they show up, they're gathered around there, and you remember the story what happens? He says, let's see who God is. Let's build a sacrifice and make a sacrifice, And let's let the real true God light the fire. You know, there's a song about that, isn't it? Light the fire. I'll stop. Y'all leave. So here's Elijah, and he says, all of Israel, let's figure out who the real God is. How long, he says, will you vacillate, Israel, between two opinions? How long will you be torn and with every wind of doctrine between two different opinions? This day you're going to pick who God is. Sounds good to us. So here's the prophets of Baal and Asherah over here. They get their bull, they put it on the altar, all this business, and they start shouting, dancing, calling out to Baal, light the fire! Light the fire! And Elijah's over here. And he watches till noon. And at noon, he starts talking smack. You know what that means? You ever talk trash? He started talking trash. Hey! Maybe he can't hear you. Talk a little bit louder. Maybe he's asleep. You know, these prophets are over here. They're serious. They're trying to do their thing. Maybe he's traveling. Who's watching? I want you to remember the story. Elijah, the prophets, and who's watching? Israel. They have a grandstand seat to this. He's talking smack to them. And they're over there, and they begin to cut themselves, slash themselves, crying out loud. And you know what? Nothing. When it came time for that evening feast, well, I got to hurry. When it came time for that evening feast, the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah called Israel to his little station. And there he rebuilt the altar of God using the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, putting them back together again. And he put the wood on the fire, put the sacrifice on top of the altar, and then he got a Bic lighter, right? No. How did it happen? Do you remember? We're in a different chapter now. We're at 17, probably approaching 18. He poured water on it. Bring out the buckets, boys. Now, I can't tell you. They got a little thing in there about how much water it was. The end result tells you how much water there were. There were four buckets or jars. Jars is the correct. That's I think, what the text says. Buckets is Dan's version. Four. Poured on the wood, on the sacrifice. And then Elijah says, do it again. Four more buckets. Do it again. Until water had filled the ditch that they had dug around the altar. For emphasis' sake, I think. And then what happened? Elijah prayed for fire, right? Wrong. Don't get ahead of me. I just set the bait for you, didn't I? That wasn't nice. 18. Nope. Let me get to it. Boy, I really covered some ground. Chapter 18, verse 37. Now, if this would have been me, I would understand the gravity of the situation, wouldn't you? I would understand that my neck is on the line. If God don't light my fire, He's going to cook my goose. Ahab's going to cook my goose. I'd be more than a goat roper, as Ken would call me. I'd be in bad shape because Jezebel's going to have my neck. I'd be saying, Lord, I want a big fire. None of this little sparking business. I want the big stuff. But look at the verse. What Elijah does is Elijah gets outside of himself and he thinks about the good of the many. Israel's watching. And he says, 18 and verse 37, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you are turning their hearts back again." I want to be like Elijah there. You know what he said? "God, I want you to turn these people's heart back to you." He didn't ask for fire. Check it out. Doesn't matter what version you got. He didn't ask for fire. But he asked God to turn their hearts back to God. Man, that's thinking outside of yourself right there. That's what I want to do. Because it ain't about me. It's about God. And Elijah, because of what he did here, God was praised by the people. Their hearts were turned back to him because God sent fire from heaven. The fire consumed the wood, the sacrifice, the stones, and the soil that supported the stones. God answered with fire because Elijah was faithful not to ask for things concerning himself, but to seek the things of God. Amen. Shall we be that way, church? I hope so. I hope that you'll be that way, because you know what? That's how we get to heaven. That's how we get to the passion we talked about this morning and the faithfulness of our class. My voice is gone. If you have anything that the church can help you with, if you want to use your God-given desire to get outside of your box so that the world may know God, so that the other Christians around you may know God, and you want to do that tonight, let us know how we can help as we stand and sing.